is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Ori.
Hi, Ori.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, April 13th. We're just going along so quickly through the year. It seems faster and faster every year. Maybe that's a reflection of my age, but it does seem like we keep going faster. Anyways, welcome to today. We are going to change the focus for a little while. Apparently, according to our producer, Nicole, my articles keep disappearing off the site. Right from the beginning, when the articles started disappearing, she says, mine are the only articles. Isn't that interesting? All the ones that are referenced well with regard to the whole COVID narrative. So, we're going to change for a little while, give Nicole a rest if you want, and certainly help prevent us from getting red flagged. We don't want to do that. As you know, I used to have over 950 articles on my website. I've taken them all down, so I just have one page, so that we don't get red flagged that way. I don't go on to Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or TikTok, which I hope you know that is controlled by CCP. We don't go on any of those, again, so as not to get red flagged. So we do our best to get you the information, as much information as we can, out to as many as we can without getting red flagged. So what are we going to do instead? Well, we're going to find nutrients in the body. The body requires, and that may help you. I won't put it in the article. I will just verbalize how it does, in fact, help you with regard to the whole spike protein or the graphene oxide or blah, blah, blah. So we will discuss them. We will give you why they're important in the body, what food or what happens if you are insufficient, depleted, what foods have them, and how to grow those foods so that you can maximize good, healthy eating and what have you. So that's going to be our focus for the next little while. We're change it as need be. Let's start with selenium. As much as I say we're going to work on selenium today, let's just do a preamble to that. Magnesium is the mineral. It's the third highest volume in the body, but it is the one that's most depleted. Why? Because magnesium isn't in the soil, so it isn't in the food, so it's not in the animals, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not getting it. They say 95 to 100% of the population is depleted in magnesium. Now, you need magnesium for 380 basic functions in a basic cell. Never mind a complicated one, just a basic cell. You use magnesium 108 times just to make one compound of ATP, the mitochondria's fuel in the cell. So, but we've talked about magnesium so many times that I thought we'll start with selenium instead. Now, it is considered to, mineral is one that we use, have very little amounts of, but if they're not there, then we can have significant impact. So let's just look at what happens with selenium. It works with vitamin C, not only to support, but to protect the immune system and to make vitamin C more effective as an antioxidant. It works with vitamin E, allowing vitamin E to become even more powerful as an antioxidant. And we know that with the graphene oxide and the spike protein and all the side stuff that it does, as well as the direct stuff, it actually ends up creating a whole lot more free radicals, for which we need a lot more antioxidants. So selenium becomes important in that perspective as well. Now, you know, if you've heard my programs for any length of time, my favorite compound is glutathione. It's involved in more processes than any other compound in the body. It has to be made inside the cell. Now, selenium is used in the process of making glutathione. Well, glutathione is the most powerful antioxidant, a million times more powerful than any other one, and of course is used for so many other things. So selenium becomes very important with glutathione, and in particular with the COVID narrative, because glutathione eliminates the graphene oxide from the body and helps to detox us from the spike protein. Holy cow. It is important to thyroid functioning. Now, we've often talked about hyper and hypo, more so hypothyroid. When the WHO was evidence-backed as opposed to politically and financially directed, the WHO way back in the day used to say over 80% of the people in North America that were on Synthroid for hypothyroid shouldn't be. Why? Because it's not the thyroid that's usually the issue. Common issue is either the liver and or the adrenals. The liver actually does the conversion of your T4 to T3. So if you don't know, your thyroid produces those two hormones, T4 and T3. Four times as much T4, but T3 is way more powerful. But the body only does the conversion as necessary. 80% of that conversion is done in the liver. So if the liver isn't functioning well, and you know the liver is the largest organ in the body, it does over 500 functions. So if it's not doing well, guess what? T4 to T3 conversion doesn't happen. You show low T3 and they put you on Synthroid. Same thing goes with the adrenals. Whether the adrenals are hyper or hypo, either way, the cortisol, lack of or too much cortisol production interferes with what's called the deiodinases, which are the enzymes that do the conversion from T4 to T3. So it can be the adrenals, it can be the liver that's interfering, and you're put on Synthroid, which then causes RT3, which is a syndrome that now you have to be on the drug for the rest of your life unless you come to somebody like me. Well, guess what? Selenium is involved in not only the production of the thyroid hormones, T3 and T4, but also to protect the thyroid. The thyroid contains the highest concentration of selenium in the body. Okay? So, what happens when we don't have sufficient selenium? Even though it's a trace mineral, what happens? And you know that if you take your Himalayan salt, if you've got a good Himalayan salt, it has all your minerals, including your trace minerals. We'll get more into that. So what happens when our selenium levels drop? Well, due to less antioxidants in the system, we now have a phenomenal increase in your free radicals. Free radicals will attach to a variety of compounds in the body, causing all kinds of issues, including cancer, dementia, and note we have 109 different dementias being studied right now. So somebody diagnoses you or a loved one with Alzheimer's, make sure you do your research because the probability is it's not Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a hugely, hugely, hugely misdiagnosed. And that, again, is pharmaceutical companies paying physicians to say that you had diagnosed you with Alzheimer's, just like they do with macular and all kinds of other issues. They'll pay the physician to give this diagnosis, which then whether the physician is doing it with or without intent, has a misdiagnosis. Okay, also heart disease and strokes. Okay, so that's your free radicals. They're involved in all kinds of different things, but those are some predominant issues. Okay, like we just said, the thyroid. Now, thyroid issues and symptoms can be associated with both hypo and hyperthyroid syndrome. So, and selenium can be involved in either, interestingly enough. And that can lead to things like anemia, autoimmune disease, damage to nerves in the muscular system, damage to the sperm count. Not only to the sperm count, but the sperm ability to move. Digestive issues, hair loss, that's a huge one that's going on right now. There's all kinds of things to do with hair loss, including get that friggin' cell phone out of the bedroom. If you have sleep issues, if you have muscular issues, if you have hair loss issues, there's just a huge number of issues. Get the cell phone out of the bedroom at nighttime. Leave it in the kitchen. Don't put it up to your head. Use it on speaker. Don't put it up to the ear. Other issues, hypothyroidism, we just talked about that, putting you on Synthroid inappropriately. Liver damage, This just kills me. The liver is responsible for over 500 functions in the body. It's the largest organ in the body, and yet they only test it for 8 enzymes. And that doesn't include testing it for glutathione. It's like, really? You got to be friggin' kidding. Okay, scaly skin. Thyroid issues start to emerge. When you actually have the thyroid issues, then you're looking at, like, hypothyroid, tiredness, fatigue, thin, brittle hair, and a weak immune system. Selenium can help resolve all those things. Holy cow. Low levels of selenium are also associated with heart disease and an increased risk of heart attacks and strokes. Now, one of the reasons may be because high levels of selenium are actually associated with lower levels of inflammation. So you don't want inflammation in the heart, in the brain, in the cardiovascular system, putting extra strain on the heart, increasing selenium. And note that selenium increasing in food is more effective than with a pill. We will get to the foods. So increasing your selenium load actually lowers your inflammation, lowers your levels of what's called C-reactive protein or CRP, which is associated with lower risks of heart attacks and strokes. Golly gee whiz. Selenium works to protect cancers from developing, perhaps because selenium helps with glutathione. When your cells replicate, if you can go back to your grade 8 biology, they go through five phases the DNA goes through five phases during replication. Well, especially in phase 2, but throughout, if the DNA replication has incorrect structure to it or processes to it, the glutathione will either correct it or eliminate it. Well, if you're not getting enough glutathione because you don't have enough selenium, then when you have DNA damage, the cells can't repair it properly, it doesn't eliminate it properly, and it can develop into cancer. The cancer cells continue to replicate and replicate. And, of course, big thing with cancer cells is at a DNA level, what's called apoptosis or pre-programmed cellular death is turned off. So cancer cells continue to replicate and replicate and replicate, and they don't die. Holy cow. Now, if you had sufficient selenium to make sufficient glutathione, the glutathione would have taken care of it, and you wouldn't be susceptible to the cancer. Good old glutathione. Actually, when I do a lot of presentations, people often say, is the answer to everything glutathione? Well, glutathione is involved in more processes than any other compound in the body, so the answer is often glutathione. Okay, in addition, antioxidants are known as weapons that fight cancer. So selenium is an antioxidant, and it is important in the creation or the effectiveness of other antioxidants, i.e. the creation of glutathione or working with vitamin A and E and C, then we don't have the ability on a number of different levels to make, to fight cancer. All our levels start going down. Not only that, remember, you're making about 1 million cancer cells a day. It's your immune system that is important. Glutathione regulates your immune system. So glutathione directly and by regulating your immune system helps fight cancer. So now if you don't have sufficient selenium, you won't have sufficient glutathione, you won't be regulating your immune system. So things like tumor necrosis factor and natural killer cells and everything else that keeps your cancer under control isn't there as well. So it's interesting how selenium is working through a number of different pathways to help support you and your immune system and protect you from cancer. Okay, so not only does the selenium support the immune system in a variety of ways, selenium in and of itself helps to reduce inflammation. Inflammation is also part of your immune system. So not only is it an antioxidant in and of itself, not only does it support other antioxidants like vitamin C and help support the creation of the major antioxidant, your glutathione, helps to reduce free radicals, it is supporting your immune system directly to protect you from disease, infection, and autoimmune issues. So without selenium, your immune system can deteriorate. And also, very important to the reproductive system. More predominantly, I mean, it's very well established, it is found in chondria, really needs selenium. they've found in the female reproduction, they're not quite as certain as they are with the male reproduction, but it looks like it might be involved in not only the ovaries, but in the fetal development. That is not as well confirmed as it is directly related to the sperm count and the sperm mobility. Low levels of selenium can also result in anemia. I said anemia, I meant asthma, I'm sorry. For instance, asthma is associated with both allergens and bronchial inflammation. Well, we just talked about inflammation, but also bronchial inflammation, which causes constriction or spasms, i.e. coughing, shortness of breath, and wheezing. And very often what the allopathic system, your Western conventional medicine, uses are steroids. And we know steroids are not good for your health. But since selenium has an ability to reduce the oxidative stress by connecting with the free radicals and offering an electron, and it has to do with the inflammation, it can reduce the inflammation, then it can help lessen the symptoms for asthma. All right. Now, so you understand, reproductive, huge. Asthma, yeah. Inflammation, yeah. Immune system, yeah. Free radicals, yeah. Glutathione, yeah. So there's an awful lot in the system, right? Okay, so can you get it? What foods are high in selenium? Baked beans. I can't stand baked beans, but if you like baked beans, then you can get your selenium there. Bananas, beef, poultry, chicken and turkey, cottage cheese. Actually, with the chicken and turkey, I should have put eggs, but it is further down. Dairy, milk and yogurt, and then eggs. Fish. Now, the yellowfin tuna, I believe, is the highest, so I put that one first. But also sardines, oysters, clams, halibut, shrimp. Salmon I put in there with a reminder to myself, I don't suggest people eating salmon anymore. We haven't since 2011 when Japan had the big fallout and all the radioactivity going into the ocean. And, of course, they sunk the huge freighter with all the containers of radioactive material into the ocean. So when we check our salmon every couple of years, it has higher and higher levels of radioactive material in it. So what we suggest to eat instead, which actually tastes better, is steelhead trout. Now, steelhead trout is the cousin or sister, whatever you want to call it, freshwater comparative to the ocean salmon. In fact, if your steelhead trout goes down the river and out to the ocean, it will then be called salmon. Why they labeled it trout, I have no idea. Never looked into that. However, steelhead trout tastes delicious and has better flavor than your best salmons. Another one is crab. All right, let's keep going. Your lentils are great. Again, I make a lousy vegetarian because I can't stand lentils. When I was doing my Ayurvedic training in India and the hospitals in Bangalore and in Cochin, they were always making all these dals, which are made from different lentils. And I was like, oh, goodness, even the smell turns me off. So they'd make a little wee salad at the end of the bar for everybody. And I'd say, nope, salad's mine. You guys have the dolls. I'll have the salad. Mushrooms. We're actually going to get into mushrooms in our piece on gardening. Nuts in particular, Brazil nuts and cashews. Pork, your ham does have a high content, but also remember, pork is one of the hardest foods to digest. So when we're focusing on foods you can grow, you may not be able to have a Brazil nut tree or a banana tree or what have you. But if you do have a hobby farm, you might be able to have chicken and turkeys, nuts, eggs, dairy, and make your own yogurt. Remember, yogurt can be made from dairy or almonds or coconut, probably other things as well. If you have a vegetable garden, which I'm always pushing people to grow their vegetable gardens, your lentils and mushrooms and spinach and sunflowers, be careful with sunflowers. If you plant sunflowers, they are like mint, they're like raspberries, they're like blackberries, they can take over everything. So make sure if you're going to plant sunflower seeds, which are really good for you, plant them in a contained, like a pot or a container, so that they don't take over everything. Okay, now, what destroys selenium in your commercial foods in particular is evaporation. Pesticides, and we know pesticides and herbicides, insecticides, your POPs, et cetera, they all have huge harm. The pH of the soils, So too much rain or too little rain, and soil pathogens, which, you know, you, again, you're using your pesticides and herbicides to kill your soil pathogens because your pH is out of balance because they don't take care of their gardens because they're more interested in the immediate profit rather than your health. Know that. Okay, now in your body, what can destroy your selenium is if you're on dialysis, if you have HIV, if you have gut issues, inflammatory issues, Crohn issues, et cetera, those can all destroy your selenium. There's also drugs that can destroy it. I'm positive I didn't do that for you. I'll have to think about that next time to make put in a part on that as well. All right, so ultimately it is now up to you. You can reduce oxidative stress, inflammation, heart and lung issues while improving your thyroid, immune functioning, glutathione, by including these foods in your regular diet. And you can grow them in your own gardens and pots on your deck, what have you. You can make sure that you get a good supply of selenium that will also help you eliminate that spike protein. Don't forget that part. Okay, I gave you a couple references there that you can work with, and we'll move on to the next part. The next part is questions. So what questions that Nicole sent me today, I think we got five of them to go over. We have Sonia and Coquitlam. Coquitlam is in BC, Canada, in case you didn't know or want to know. Is there any way we can leave Canada without getting the jab? Well, we all know that Canada and Australia are fighting for first place in medical tyranny. The governments are trying to control everything without using any real evidence, and they control all the MSM, multimedia, the TV, because it's all paid and bought for. So what do we do? Well, number one, we don't listen to news on the regular programs. We go to all the real alternate news. But when it comes to leaving Canada, there are a variety of ways you can actually leave Canada. They've got the cruise ships are now starting to come, going to start coming in. Several of them don't require the passports. They're right through this whole COVID narrative, there's been seven airlines that don't require passport, your vaccine passport. And now I think you can drive across the border. The problem is not in getting out of Canada, it's getting back into Canada. Now, my example, the reason we normally go down to Mexico for a month every 3 or 4 months, and we haven't done this since Christmas of last year. Oh, so we're waiting desperately to get to the sunshine. But in the meantime, the reason we don't is when we came back last time, just a couple of days before we left Mexico to come home, our wonderful government decided that you had to have the PCR testing to come home. Well, we already knew, at least I did, that the graphene oxide was in the PCR testing as much as there's a whole bunch of other issues with the PCR testing, and 95 to 100% is false positives and blah, 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 blah. But we had to, in order to get home, we had to take the PCR testing. So, of course, I put us on that graphene oxide detox as soon as we got home. But what if we had to take the jab in order to get home? So I want this all resolved more efficiently before we decide to leave Canada, because you never know what's going to happen coming back into Canada. And because our government, in its determination to have utter control over everything, with its people. We don't trust the government, just like we don't trust the banking system anymore. We don't trust anything in Canada anymore, but we don't leave Canada more because of what might happen coming home as opposed to what might happen going out. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but that, I think, is the primary concern. What will they do to us when we come back if we're not jabbed? All right. Anja in Ontario, hope I pronounced that correctly. Are there any supplements we can take to cure infection? Yeah, there's a ton of them, but the real question is what's causing the infection? Are you talking about the infections from the jab and the graphene oxide and the spike protein? Are you talking about a variety of different viruses, bacteria, protozoas, molds, yeast, whatever, worms, all kinds of stuff that can infect our system? And now they've even got the nanoparticling plastics that they're finding in our lungs. What are you talking about? So I thought I'd give you a few different answers. If you're looking at the upper respiratory system, Herbs like oil of oregano, thyme, rosemary are great for the upper respiratory infections. For the actual throat, ginger is fantastic. If you're looking at gut parasites, black walnut and cinnamon and nutmeg are very good. If you're looking at things like yeast infections and herpes, ulloric acid and caprylic acid and coconut work. Coconut oil, well, I always call it coconut lard because it looks like lard when it's cold, work on those kinds of issues. If you're looking at gut bacteria, you're looking at Oregon grape and golden seal, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. Now, the flip side of the coin is why not just build up your immune system and prevent the infection? So you can use transfer factor. We've talked about that so many times because it supports your immune system, program it. Glutathione regulates your immune system. There's tons of herbs from Baptisma and Angelica and just all kinds of herbs that can actually support your immune system. So perhaps it's not what cures, but what eliminates, where, and how is your immune system, how strong is your immune system? Those are the questions that perhaps you should be asking. Hope that helps. As you know, and I'm always in cognitive dissonance because so many of you send in questions, which I appreciate and I try my best to answer, but the problem is you can have 300 to 400 different symptoms, but there's over 10,000 diseases, dysfunctions, and disorders just according to allopathic or Western conventional medicine. On top of that, you have all the different issues caused by pharmaceuticals. You have all the issues caused by heavy metal toxicity, environmental toxicities, electromagnetic frequency toxicities, food allergens, et cetera, toxins, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, POPs in your food, never mind Monsanto sprays that disrupt the gut. I mean, there's all these other issues. So to give you a specific answer, which would be unethical anyways without testing you and looking at what's going on, my basic process is giving you all the different causes, or at least the most common ones, so that you can start investigating those or taking those to your doctor to get more specific answers. And again, I would suggest that for most things that you go to, whether it's an Ayurvedic physician or traditional Chinese or a herbalist or a nutritionist or a doctor of natural medicine or a naturopath, any of those are likely to have far more information than your MD if it comes to any of those other issues. Now, you know, flip side of the coin is people say, well, are you against all MDs? Well, no, I'm not. There's some that are fantastic out there that do really good differential diagnoses, but most don't. And number two, most don't have any training at all in herbs and in nutrition. In fact, you know, I also add in, as much as I have a PhD in nutrition and only a master's in herbal medicine, in my understanding, herbal medicine is far more medicinally inclined because it has 10 times the nutrient value that your food does. So I use food as your basic foundation, but whenever you go sideways, it's the herbs that are much more powerful. All right, having said all that, let's move on. Sandra in Thunder Bay. I was wondering if you have any more updates about the 5G. Have they all been installed and turned on? My understanding is they have just an incredulously huge number installed. It's all the towers are there. It's the minute components that the towers reflect off of that basically have to go almost every two houses. And those haven't been installed. But in the process, they are turning them on. Now, a huge issue with them, and I've said this many times before as well, your number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction are the pharmaceutical drugs. So three things about pharmaceutical drugs that you can remember is 99% of them cause nutrient deficiency. 48% of the 250 most commonly prescribed drugs cause cancer. Mitochondrial dysfunction, that's the components in the cells that make the fuel for the cells. The number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction are pharmaceutical drugs. But I would bet that within the next few years, the number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction is going to be 5G. It disrupts your calcium
signaling processes. It disrupts the cellular membrane in a variety of different ways, but for instance, it allows calcium to pour into the cell, causing all kinds of disruptions. It affects sperm quality and female reproduction and embryos. It affects, causes cancers, in particular the gliomas and the acoustic neuromas. It causes just a ton of, and it's been well established and well known. In fact, there's been panels that have gone to the government along with the 5G guys saying, give us one study that shows it's just neutral as opposed to harmful. And they can't even produce one study. The jab, they don't care. They just push it through if they're going to make money on it. Just like the smart meters. No matter how much we fought and showed all the harm caused by smart meters, they just went ahead and did it anyways because there was somebody making money. Follow the money, honey. And if it's not the money, follow the control. All right. Michael, sorry about that. The answer to your question is they're still putting in towers. And they are turning them on in areas where they have the smaller components set up as well. All right, Michelle in Ontario. I wake up to find large bruises on my body in different places. I'm told I'm not sleepwalking by my husband, so what could this be? Well, it can be all kinds of things. Bleeding can be indicative. Bruises can be indicative of internal bleeding. So if you're taking blood thinners like warfarin, heparin, rivaroxaban, dabigatran, I think is how you pronounce it, axiabin, and even aspirin can cause internal bleeding because the blood's too thin, so it's going through the membrane. Corticosteroids and glucocorticoids, even antidepressants like Selexa and Prozac, I got those out without a problem. If you're eating too much garlic, now I often suggest using garlic. I regularly suggest using garlic as a blood thinner. It's a nice, healthy way to get your blood thin. It works to support your immune system, and it's an antimicrobial, and it provides the sulfur components for your cells to make glutathione. So garlic has 350 compounds. It's a really good component, but if you get too much, then your blood can be too thin and, again, start leaking through the membranes, as well as ginger or willow bark can do that. Willow bark is what they originally made aspirin from. And, again, too much of a good thing can cause a bad thing. Your membrane integrity, whether your blood's too thin or not, if your membrane integrity, the strength, the connective components between the cellular structures in your membrane, if that is too thin or too weak, whether your blood's too thin or not, it can leak through your membrane. Blood clotting can be an issue. So you do need blood clotters, for instance, vitamin K in your system so that, you know, when you've got a breakage, the blood can clot and prevent bleeding. So deficiencies like vitamin K2, which can be caused because of D3. So many people have put out there that, you know, with all this COVID stuff, you know, strengthen your immune system with vitamin D3 and it helps to protect you from the spike protein. But if you've got too much vitamin 3, that depletes your K2, and now you don't have sufficient blood clotting that when you get breakages, especially in the arterials, you have 5 different sizes of arteries. Your arterials are the smallest. And if your arterials break down, then you can have bleeding. So if that's the case, and you can have arterials break down just by laying in your bed and breathing, so we know with activity, we need lots of repair work going on, correcting all those breakages. But if you don't have sufficient vitamin K, then you don't get the blood clotting that prevents the bleeding while the body's repairing the membrane. I hope that all made sense to you. So we have to make sure, now there's an old rule of thumb, and it does differ for different people, but the general rule of thumb, and we are all different, is that you're taking more than 2,000 mcgs of D3, which could actually be 60-70% D2 if you're getting it from a health food store. Could all be artificial if you're getting it from a pharmaceutical. But too much D3 depletes your K2, which allows your blood to be too thin without sufficient clotting capacity. Okay, so that could be causing it. You could also have vasculitis, which is inflammation in the blood vessels, and that can lead to bruising and bleeding. Seniors will often have a condition where they have, you know, these purplish red bruising,
like lesions on the skin, and that usually happens on the hands and the arms, and that, in my mind, just gives them some more K2 to compensate for that. I hope you got a variety of different options to look at there. We don't know which one would be applicable to you. Okay, let's move on to Monica in New York. What are good places to find uncensored truth about the jab and what's going on these days? Well, certainly not on the TV news, that's for sure. We've already said TV news and all your different channels is controlled and paid for by the government or CCP. So what do we do? Well, one thing that's really interesting in Canada right now is Rebel News, because Rebel News just got knocked by the government that they're not journalists. And the reason the good old Trudeau did that, forcing questions to be answered, and he didn't like that. And also prevents them from going into any of the areas where they're having discussions and asking questions or reporting what's really going on. So they stood up to the government, and we still support them. America, Frontline Doctors, Bright Light News, Children's Health Defense, Doctors Without Borders, Epoch Times, Frontline, Immune Defense, Global Research Network, Health Impact News, Strong and Free Canada. And then we have also Vaccine Choice Canada, the World Council for Health, who's right now, Canada Health Alliance, Take Action Canada. Those are, of course, I'm more familiar with the more specifically Canadian ones as opposed to the worldwide. But those ones actually have all kinds of information worldwide on them. So that's not all of them. That was just the ones I took off the top of my head. There are a lot. So, you know, you basically have to do your own research. I don't agree with everything that's always said. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. You forgot to address this or that or the other thing. So they're not always all-inclusive, and they don't always address everything, but they do have a lot more real content the other ones do. Now, you can also look at individual physicians, researchers. There is a ton of them, and more coming out all the time. But ones that really have a large following are like Dr. Malone, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Trozzi, Dr. Mercola. In fact, Dr. Trozzi just did the World Council for Health back April 11th. He was the one that orchestrated all of that. Mercola has had a following for as long as I can remember. Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone are more current in the last couple of years, but have a huge amount. Dr. Artis as well have a huge following for them. They have tons of videos as well as journal articles as well as blogs, etc. And once you start going down the rabbit hole, you just keep finding more and more and more and more. Now, I felt really sorry for a gentleman that I know who laughed at me and said, oh, well, you know, these guys have lost their licenses and they've been fined and what have you, so obviously they don't know what they're talking about. And it's actually the flip side of the coin. This guy just wasn't very aware that these guys are willing to risk their careers and their finances and their licensing, et cetera, in order to protect humanity, to come out with the truth as opposed to just following along and abiding by the gag legislation and all the rest of the nonsense that's been going on, forcing hospitals and physicians and even nurses to do what they shouldn't be doing. These guys have the guts to come out and stand up. These are the guys that you really want to pay attention to. So that's it for the questions. Now let's go to my favorite part, and that is the gardening. Okay, so where is it? Well, in order to get the gardening, I have to find the sheet. Oh, there it is. Okay, so, of course, today we were looking at selenium. So when I'm thinking of high-content foods that I grow, I think of mushrooms. Mushrooms may take you a couple of times to really get the hang of it, but once you do, mushrooms are so easy to grow. Some need to grow on trees. Other can be with what I use is alpine chips, so I use the ones that grow with alpine chips. But
The easiest mushrooms to grow are the oyster mushrooms, and there's a variety of them, of course, pink, yellow, blue, king, etc. Shiitake mushrooms, great for vitamin D, immune boosting. Mushrooms, I don't know why I just put it on this one. Mushrooms are known for what's called a beta-glycan. Now, beta-glycan is a polysaccharide, which means multi-sugar, but it's a particular type of multi-sugar that is incredible for the body. Again, your immune system, it's incredible for fighting cancers, what have you, and different mushrooms have different degrees of beta-glycans as well as selenium. White cap mushrooms, lots of nutrients, but they're a little low on the selenium, but they have iron and copper and calcium and vitamin D3. The pino mushrooms, I believe it is an Italian mushroom. It's often referred to as a black mushroom, and it actually grows on trees. Very, very rich in selenium. Lion mane mushrooms, they have two particular compounds that can stimulate the growth of brain cells. So if you're looking at anybody who's had a stroke or neural damage or what have you, lion mane mushrooms can be great for that. Shaga mushrooms, great for selenium, beta-glycans again, as well as other polyphenols and flavins and antioxidants. So because we were talking about selenium, I think these five mushrooms are the highest in selenium content. That's your shiitake, the Ganoderma, Portobello, the Crimini, and the Oyster. So if you want to grow those, that would be fantastic for your selenium. Now, why should we grow mushrooms? Well, it's very cost effective once you get in the hang of growing them. I use 5-gallon containers. Actually, they're from ice cream shops, and I put in holes. Actually, even I'll finish that, I guess. Okay, I put in holes all the way around and in the roof, and then I layer the alpine pieces with the more of the mushrooms, and then they just grow out of all the little holes. Start them off in the garage and then put them out in the cold without much light. But there are videos. There's all kinds of YouTube. I shouldn't say there's all kinds. There's all kinds of documentation on how to do it, but there's a couple of really, really good YouTubes that you can find on how to grow your own mushrooms. Now, if you grow your own mushrooms, you're going to have a great source of various proteins and amino acids, zinc and potassium, phosphorus, and selenium, and iron, actually. And they're full of beta-glycans that we already identified. They have the soluble fiber that is found in the walls of bacteria and fungi and yeast and mushrooms. Beta-glycan is fantastic. And like we've already said, it's really, really good for your immune system. It stimulates and promotes white blood cells, and particularly your Th1 and your Th2s. It supports brain function. It's cancer prevention. It helps to regulate cholesterol by preventing the uptake from the gut into the portal blood, into the liver of cholesterols. It can help with things like eczema and diabetes. I mean, mushrooms are fantastic. And these beta-glycans are huge. And they also have, guess what, the selenium. So I've given you a couple of references, but I don't think I gave you the, because I don't post this one. Yeah, I do. It's the gardening. We do post it. So you do have a couple of references on easy mushrooms to grow, as well as the health benefits of mushrooms. And I really do hope that you have fun growing your own mushrooms. There's a variety of people that you can get the actual mushroom spores from to grow the mushrooms, but you can create them yourself just by taking out the stem of the mushroom when you're eating them, cleaning them, whatever, for your salads or omelets or whatever you're making the mushroom spore. But it's a lot easier when you buy the spore packages. I didn't have any luck historically making my own, so I actually bought it, and then I had lots of easy luck then. Fantastic. Again, I always come from the perspective, and you've heard me say this many times, it really doesn't matter to me whether you want to believe in one of the 7 theories of evolution, whether you want to believe in creatism, or any combination thereof, because ultimately our bodies were designed to work with nature, was designed to work with those foods and herbs. The problem in today's society is those foods and herbs are often very nutrient deficient, unloaded with toxicity, which of course depletes your glutathione.
We've said this many times before, that since the 1900s, early 1900s, there's been over 100,000 different toxins, toxic compounds created, and 70% of them are found, I think that percentage still holds, 70% of them are found in the household, whether it's with your food, with insecticides and pesticides and herbicides and POPs, or whether it's in your hygiene products or your cleaning products, it's in your household. Cleaning products, trying to keep my house as clean as possible, I only use things like vinegar and bleach and ammonia. I don't use any other. I use a lot of Norwex products because Norwex, I'll put in a plug for Norwex, they have cloths with the silver in them that cleans up bacteria beautifully. They have other cloths that you use for the window. You don't need any Windex or anything else for it. It just cleans, you know, as long as you rinse the cloth out, wash it out and wring it well enough, it doesn't leave any streaks on the windows at all. It is just beautiful. So I will use their products instead of using toxic products in the household. I don't have carpeting in the household because carpeting is full of molds and bacteria and what have you, whereas a wooden floor or a ceramic floor doesn't have that and is easily washed. Marble floors and granite floors. I just love the materials. So, and of course, as you would probably guess, I have lots of gardens. So I'll just quickly, we've got the time. I've got 80 feet, 40 feet on either side of trestles for grapevines. I have 8 different types of grapes that grow, grapes that are great for jellies, for just eating fresh. We don't have any wine-making facilities, so I have grapes that you can use for wine, but we don't make our own wine. I'm Italian, and my dad says I'm a lousy Italian because I don't drink any liquor, including wine. But in addition to the grapes, we have 22 berry bushes, raspberry, blackberry, honeyberry, blueberry. We also have, and we have a variety, and strawberry. We have a variety of each species, right? So we get the type that grow all season long, as well as the ones that have a huge surplus in a short period. In addition to that, I have 22 raised gardens and 15 fruit trees. So we have a lot of fruit and vegetables, and we do a lot of canning and pickling and fermenting to keep that going throughout the year. They're fantastic. And, of course, you know that when you're growing it in your gardens, and we've gone over so many times the different manures that we use, the organic, well, we create the fish manure out of all the fish byproducts from eating fish, and then we get organic horse manure, organic cow manure, organic chicken manure, and, of course, the rabbit manure. And then on top of that, you've got all the natural green manures that you've composting that you've done, from, you know, stuff that's come out of the kitchen, as well as pruning the garden. So there's tons and tons and tons of really, really good stuff in all the gardens, and the gardens produce phenomenally well. We also have to give attributes to my dad. We had a horrible summer last summer in terms of the heat. The heat was up to, but they would get New Delhi, which we never get here. We're always mild here, but we got such hot heat. And it was horribly difficult for all the plants. And my dad was up, he's 90 years old, and he was up watering the gardens at 3 a.m. and then again at 7, and making sure, you know, what needed to be, like tomatoes, to just have their roots done, as opposed to other plants, you know, like your beans and what have you, that just love everything being done, but not doing it during the high sun. So at 7 a.m. and then he'd do it around 9, and then again around 7 p.m. He spent forever in the garden. So the gardens ultimately are a phenomenal source for your nutrients. I'd much rather you have the food, the herbs and the vegetables and the fruits, as opposed to the supplements. You don't know where the supplements, I mean, I do a lot of research with my supplements. Where are they growing? How are they harvested? How are they processed, etc.? And consequently, I don't use an awful lot that's out there, and most of what's in a lot of what's in a health food store. I use stuff that I not only have done a lot of research on, but that come up on my equipment that your body requires. So having said all that, I'm Dr. Holly with Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. You can go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca. You can go to my book site, drhollybooks.com. And you can find a huge amount of information. But again, I haven't gone on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. I need those sites, even YouTube, for a couple of years now because they are all so corrupt. We don't go there anymore, and we don't want to get red flagged. So hopefully you will use the information in the manner in which we can provide it for you. We provide as much as possible for as little as possible and hope that you take advantage of everything, that you have a really, really great week. Enjoy making, gardening, creating your own foods, and being healthy, wealthy, and wise. So I'm Dr. Holly, and that's it for today. We're cutting out early today, so make it a good week. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.